Welcome to A Time of Hope. This is a highlight of our service from last week's Sunday service. My name is Russell Cobb, and I'm the pastor at the UCC of California. You're always welcome at our regular Sunday services. Sunday school's at 9:30 with donuts and juice available in the gym. Worship starts at 10:30 with a nursery for your little ones. And we would be so excited and privileged to have you attend our services as we worship God and His Son, Jesus Christ, as one family. This coming Sunday, the 16th, our Christmas cantata, Mary Did You Know, will be performed at our worship service at 10:30, as well as at Salem UCC at 8:30.
Lighting our candle for the first Sunday of Advent and offering the reading that accompanies it is confirmation student Peter Damp.
We will be lighting the Advent candle of hope. We light this candle to proclaim the coming of the light of God into the world. With the coming of this light, there's hope. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light has shined. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. Let us worship in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Let's pray together our prayer of the day. Stir up your power, Lord Christ, and come. By your merciful protection, awaken us to the threatening dangers of our sins and keep us blameless until the coming of your new day. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our prayer of confession.
Our special music is the Good Vibrations Bell Choir playing What Child Is This? The choir is directed by Becky Schneider.
Thank you.
Our first scripture readings are read by Alan Chambers. It's followed by the gospel reading and the sermon by Pastor Cobb.
The first reading today comes from Psalm 148, chapters 1 through 6. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you shining stars. Praise Him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded, and they were created, and He established them forever and ever. He fixed their bounds, which cannot be passed. Here ends the first reading. The second reading today comes from Hebrews, first chapter, verses 5 through 7, 13 and 14. For to what angel did God ever say, Thou art my son, today I have begotten thee? Or again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, Let all God's angels worship him. Of the angels he says, Who makes his angels winds and his servants flames of fire? But to what angel has he ever said, Sit at my right hand, till I make thy enemies a stool for thy feet? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to serve for the sake of those who are to be obtained salvation?
The gospel reading will be found in Luke chapter 2, verses 9 through 14. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom His favor rests. The next few weeks, we're going to be looking at a lot at Matthew chapters 1 and 2 and Luke chapter 1 and 2, so you might want to read up on those in the next few weeks. That'll be a little bit of your homework, as it was this week as well. We'll be covering the characters involved in the Christmas story. You know, only two Gospels carry the Gospel story, Matthew and Luke, but there are numerous passages in the Old Testament that predict Jesus' birth. You know, when we think of angels, you might think of It's a Wonderful Life and Clarence, the angel with George Bailey. And what's the famous saying? Every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings, of course. And then maybe you watch the TV show Touched by an Angel with Roma Downing and Della Reese and all the situations that they were in as angels. We'll be singing lots of hymns or lots of carols this Christmas season that mention angels. It came upon a midnight clear. Hark the herald angels sing. Angels we have heard on high are, O come all ye faithful. We see angels scattered throughout the Old Testament as well. In the Garden of Eden, at the burning bush with Moses. We see Elijah on the mount with Mount Carmel with the prophets of Baal. We see Jacob even wrestled an angel, and Jacob even had a dream of angels ascending and descending on a stairway. You know, when we decorate the tree at my house, instead of a star, we put an angel on top of the tree. Angels are all over the Christmas story. In fact, in the Gospel of Luke, they're mentioned 23 times alone. From the end of the book of Malachi to the beginning of the Gospel of Matthew, God had been silent for 400 years. No words had been spoken to His people for 400 years. Think of all the generations that had lived and died without hearing a new word from God. And then who did God use to bring the good news of the Messiah to the world? He used angels and the heavenly host and the Holy Spirit to bring the good news of the Messiah. The image many times we have at Christmas is one of peace, joy, calmness, white snow, Christmas lights, decorations, smiles. Of course, every Hallmark movie that my wife watches each night are just a snuggly, good, warm feeling. But I'm going to give you some encouragement to read Revelation chapter 12 in the next few weeks. You'll get another view of the Nativity story. In Matthew chapter 1, we get Joseph's view of the nativity story. In Luke chapter 2, we get Mary's view. But when you look at Revelation chapter 12, you get God's view of the nativity story. And we see there that there was a spiritual battle going on between the angels at the time of the birth of Christ. I think this is an illustration of what's going on a lot of times below the surface with many people and many of us around the Christmas season. We put on the image of calmness and peace and joy, but just below the surface, our lives are in turmoil. We're in struggle. Our feelings inside don't match the joy of the season. Well, we'll see this morning how the angels help the characters of the Christmas story and how they can help us today during this time of the year. So what did angels bring to the Christmas story, and what do they bring to us today? Well, let's look there real quick in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. He writes there, "This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit.'" The first thing that angels brought to the characters of the story, and they bring to us as well, they brought comfort. Anytime we see the angels appear to any of these characters in the story, Joseph, Mary, Zechariah, the shepherds, the first words out of their mouth usually were, "Don't be afraid," because of their awe-inspiring presence. But then they followed it right up with words of comfort. Look at Joseph there. He says, "Hey, you're going to be a father. Don't be afraid to marry Mary and take her as your wife." We see Mary there, the first words to her, "Don't be afraid. You're highly favored with God, and the Lord is with you." We see Zechariah in Luke chapter 1, when he sees the angel, it says he was gripped with fear. And the angels told him, God has heard your prayers. How comforting would that be to know that an angel came down and said, "I've heard your prayers. God has heard your prayers." And then it says the shepherds were terrified when they saw the angels. But the angels delivered to them the good news, said, "We've got good news for you. Don't be afraid." We see there that all through the scripture that angels brought comfort. When Jesus was in the desert fighting Satan and the temptations there that was given to him, it says then the devil left him and the angels came and attended him. We read it just a second ago, that angels are ministering spirits to us who serve and will inherit salvation. We see Jesus in the garden. His last moments, the most stressful moments of his life before the crucifixion. It says an angel appeared to him and strengthened him. So the angels brought comfort to the characters of the story. We see Mary in distress and worrying about what the angel brought her, or the news that the angel brought her. But then the angel also brought her comfort and reassurance. This is what they do in times of stress and worry for us. They minister to us in our toughest times. The angel's comforting words to Mary, "The Lord is with you." To Zechariah, "Your prayers have been heard." To the shepherds, "I bring you good news." God sends his angels to bring us comfort when we are unsure of how God wants to use us in the future. But he calms our fears and strengthens us. We also see in verse 20 of Matthew that only did they bring comfort, they brought a challenge. He tells Joseph, the lady that he's engaged to, the lady that he's not physically been with, that she's pregnant by the Holy Spirit sent by God, and that this child was going to be fully God and fully human. And now Joseph was going to be the husband of a pregnant woman. In Joseph's view, he only had two options. Number one, he could have had Mary stoned because he knew that it wasn't him that had been with Mary, so it had to be somebody else. But Joseph was going to choose the second option. "I'm going to divorce her quietly because I love her. I think a lot of her, but I don't want anything bad to happen to her." But then God steps in and gives him a challenge. He says, "I want you to choose the third option. I want you to take her as your wife." Just think about all the stigma that was attached to that in that small village that they lived in. The whispers that were behind their backs. No one would believe this story at all. His wife, in fact, was in danger, so they moved to faraway places And then they settled in a different town altogether. But we see there that he gives the same challenge to Zechariah and Elizabeth as well, to raise a godly child the way that God wants that child to be raised. You know, part of the joy of being parents is choosing the names, isn't it? I remember me and my wife, we would debate for months. You know, we didn't find out what the baby was going to be until the baby was born. So we would have a girl's name and a boy's name. By the third child, I pretty much had accepted the fact that it was probably going to be a daughter. So we did. She did have a boy's name just to humor me, I think. But that's part of the joy of it. But we see here in both these cases, God chose the name for both John the Baptist and for also Jesus himself, because God wanted those parents to raise those children in a godly way. But boy, the challenge that he gave them sure didn't make sense, you know, to have a wife that was already pregnant by the Holy Spirit and to take her as his wife and endure all the shame and the stuff that came with it. But a lot of times the things that God gives us doesn't make sense. God brings seemingly impossible tasks to God's people all the time. Noah and the ark. Hey, I want you to spend 120 years building an ark. No water's around, but you be faithful and build that ark. I'm sure the people walked by that ark numerous times and kind of pointed and said, there's something off about that guy. Elijah on Mount Carmel with the sacrifices he had. God said, pour yours with water, and then I'll light it on fire. That don't make a lot of sense. Peter jumping out of the boat and walking on water, that doesn't make sense. It's the same way that he wants with us. The angels brought a challenge to him, and he brings challenges to us to live lives contrary to the world's wisdom. We're challenged to raise godly children in today's world, making choices that might contradict with what we're told what we must do as parents for our children to be successful. Do we have the faith to take on the challenge to raise godly children and against the wisdom of our culture? Will we follow in the faith steps of Mary? Will we take on the challenge that God has put in front of them and put in front of each one of us to raise godly children and go against the grain of the world? We'll all have questions like Mary and Joseph did. You know, how can this be? It doesn't make sense. But see, angels are there along with the Holy Spirit to help us have confidence and strength to do what doesn't make sense in the world's eyes. We see there in verses 21 through 23, the third thing that angels bring is good news. Look at verses 21 through 23. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. The good news that they were bringing, that God was sending someone to take away our sins, and that God was coming down in fleshly form. And who did he deliver this news to? Did he deliver it to the nightly news? Did he bring it to the most powerful people in the world at that time? No, he brought it to simple, everyday people doing simple, everyday stuff. He brought it to shepherds in their fields. They couldn't even go into town because of their flocks. They were out there in the cold with their smelly sheep, outcast from the town. But we see God uses simple, everyday people like that all the time. And the good news that they brought saved people from their sins. God's going to be with us. Gabriel told Zechariah, I stand in the presence of God, and I've been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news. Angels know how much God loves you and me. We see it at the end of the parable, the lost son, the lost coin, the lost sheep. Luke writes there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. They know how much God loves you and me. The angels don't rejoice on how well we do in our activities in life, if we win a ball game, if we get a good grade, or if we do well at our work. They rejoice over lost people coming to know Jesus and making him Lord of their lives. Paul said this good news this way in 2 Corinthians. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Think about that. I spent a few hours with my little grandson yesterday. I never knew a little 20-month-old kid could wear out two 50-year-old people. Betty's not quite 50 yet, but I'm going to average our age together, all right? That just a few hours of that could wear us out for the rest of the day. And I look at that little child, and I think about what God created in Jesus. in the birth of Jesus in Mary, in that womb, that all the sins of the world were put on him so that we could be righteous in God's eyes. Hebrews says it this way. Why did Jesus have to come in human form? This is what Hebrews says. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For this reason, he had to be made like them, fully human in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest. Jesus came down to be our translator for God's love for us. Many times we'll watch TV and we'll see someone speaking in a language, there's a translator. I had 4 years of Spanish, but I still need a translator when someone is speaking Spanish on TV. But they tell me what the person is saying. God sent Jesus to be the translator of his love for us. God became man so he could translate God's spiritual words and love for us. Flip real quick to Luke chapter 2. We read it earlier. You can follow along. I'm not going to read it again. We read it earlier. But the fourth thing that the angels brought to those characters is they brought God's glory. When they announced that news to the shepherds in Luke chapter 2, that it said the shepherds were terrified. But it was the best baby announcement ever, wasn't it? We see it on Facebook all the time. People have come up with all the creative ways to announce babies being born. They're using fireworks. In our case, in our family's case, they use cupcakes, I think, with our new granddaughter who's going to be born in May. But it's a great baby announcement. I remember when Carrie and Jeremiah told us about Gannon being born. And Betty can vouch for this. This is not a preacher just embellishing a story. But on our 29th wedding anniversary, I had a dream that morning. I woke up and I told Betty. I said, I just had a dream that Jeremiah was holding a baby boy on a beach. We chuckled a little bit, said, wouldn't it be nice when the kids have, kids themselves? That night, they came to our house and told us that Gannon was being born. And to follow it up, the day that he was born, I had another dream that he was going to be born that day. Only two times I've ever had dreams like that. Those are great baby announcements. I love that. I didn't have the same thing with the baby girl, so maybe I'll have it when she gets born. We'll check and find out. But they had a great way to announce the baby. The angels were there to bring God's glory. We read it in Psalm 148. And just the way angels bring glory to God, they challenge us to glorify God with our lives. How can we do that with just our ordinary lives? In fact, John the Baptist's whole life was to bring others to Jesus. That was the reason he was born, was to bring others to Jesus. Mary's response in Luke 1 when she found out that this was her future, she says, my soul glorifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. But how are we to glorify God with our normal everyday lives? Peter tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that he visits us. We do it by living simple everyday lives, doing godly things for those around us. We make spiritual choices a priority in our life, and people may not understand it, but by doing those simple things every single day, we give God glory in our life, just like Mary, just like Joseph, just like Zechariah, just like Elizabeth, and just like the shepherds. And finally, the last thing the angels bring is found in Matthew chapter 2. They brought protection. When you read their verses 12 and 14 of Matthew chapter 2, we see that the wise men are warned in a dream to go by a different route, to get out of there because Herod is after them. And then in verse 13, when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night, and left for Egypt. Finally, angels brought protection. They protected the wise men, told them to go a different route, warned Joseph and Mary to get out of the country until Herod was no longer in power. And what was Herod so worried about? He was afraid there was a new king coming along going to take his kingdom away. See, I think sometimes we struggle with the same thing. We have our own little kingdom, things that we've created, things that we've done, and we're afraid to let God get too close because he may want some of our kingdom or he might want some control of our kingdom. But when God's the protector, we can know that we can trust him with what we have and that he'll be a good steward of it. But many times when we're stuck in a certain situation, we feel like all things around us are going wrong and there's no one there for us. We see through Scripture confidently that saints are being protected by their angels. Acts chapter 12, Peter was in prison. And it says that he gets walked out in front of everybody without anybody seeing him. He realizes that it was an angel that took him out of prison. In Matthew chapter 18, Jesus talks about little children. He says, "See that you do not look down on one of these little children, for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven." And then one of my favorite stories in 2 Kings chapter 6, when Elijah and his servant are surrounded and it looks like their deaths are imminent, Elisha tells his servant, "The ones with us are more than the ones with them." And he prays that the eyes of his servant will be open. And when they are, he sees chariots of fire surrounding them, spiritual chariots of fire surrounding them, and they were safely secure. The next few weeks, I encourage you to read these four chapters. We're going to be in and out of them quite a bit. Listen for the voices of the angels when you listen and you read this time of year. Get away from the noise of the season. When you're afraid, feel the presence of the Holy Spirit in your lives. When you're hurting, feel the strength of the heavenly host. See, angels brought comfort. They brought a challenge. They brought good news. They brought God glory and they brought God's protection. They do the same for us today. They bring us comfort when we are afraid or discouraged. They bring us a challenge to live lives of faith for God. They bring us good news about Christ's love for us. They bring glory to God and motivate us to glorify God with our lives. And they bring us protection against the attacks and the temptations of the evil. When we recite the Lord's Prayer, we recite that line that says, "Deliver me from evil." What do you need the angels to bring to you today? The characters of the Christmas story were in tune with the spiritual realm. In times of distress and worry and struggle, they felt the presence and the protection. All the characters of this part of the Christmas story listened and obeyed God's message and challenges. Where are you at this morning? Maybe you are Mary and Joseph, not sure of God's plan for your life. Maybe you are a shepherd or Zachariah doing your regular duties in the temple or in the fields. When God chooses you to do something very special with the good news of Jesus for his kingdom. The angels brought the good news of the Messiah. God is with us. God became flesh. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Mary, Joseph, and the shepherds and the wise men obeyed the angels. Do you need to follow their example and obey the good news about Jesus and claim him as your Lord and Savior today? Will your answer be the same as Mary's? "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled."
We thank you for listening. May God bless you this Sunday.